Hey, everybody, it's Tom Lounges. Thank you so much for being here this evening on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. It's time now for Midwest Beat. Midwest Beat is a program all about music and the people who make it. And tonight, we've got a gentleman who's been making music for a very, very long time. In bands like Vanilla Fudge, Rod Stewart Band, and of course, Cactus. I'm talking about drummer icon, I guess you'd say, Carmine Appice. Carmine has been on the music scene for decades, as I mentioned, and he's not slowing down at all. He's got a brand new Cactus album out called Tightrope. We're going to play songs from it and talk to Carmine in just a few. Stay with us on Midwest Beat. Good evening, everybody. Once again, welcome back to Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM on the dial and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Lounges, and tonight, Midwest Beat is going to feature Carmine Appice. Carmine is one of those legendary drummers. He's played with just about everybody over the years as a session player, as a band member, and as a band leader of such acts as Cactus and Vanilla Fudge, to name just two. And tonight we're going to focus on Cactus. There's a new album out from the band, and it literally just came out about a week ago, called Tightrope, a double LP on 180 gram. It's also available on MP3 and also on CD. We're going to feature our special guest, Carmine Appice, in just a few minutes. But right now, let's start off with a track from the album. This is a cover that they do a unique version on that makes it their very own. I know you'll know it. Here's some classic soul music in the hands of Carmine and the boys.
Papa never worked a day in his life. Well, then, Mama, there's some bad talking going around saying Papa had three children and another wife. And that ain't right. Her talk Papa doing stole from preaching, saving souls and all her time leeching, dealing in debt,
and stealing in the name of the Lord.
Into a classic track and reinventing it for a new generation. That, of course, an old Tempt and Temptations tune, In the Hands of Cactus. And wow, that's like the third time I've played that song on the radio, and it's my favorite track right now. But there's some other great tunes on here we're going to get to. Tightrope is the name of the album. We're going to get to the title track. We're going to have our guest pick a couple as well that we'll get to before the end of the hour. Speaking of that guest, Carmine Apice is with us. Hey, Carmine, how are you?
Good. How you doing, man?
Doing good.
That's the first time I heard that song on any kind of radio.
Really? I've been playing it on a couple of different stations out here, and the response has been super strong to it.
That's going to be the second video. We want to do the tightrope first and then do that one last, second,
Right, right. Well, that was the only cover on this album, correct? I mean, you guys, it looks like you wrote everything within the last year or two.
Yeah, we did. We started recording this around November 2019, and we were done about the beginning of February. And then, and then COVID hit, and we started mixing. And we ended up mixing it, by the internet, which was done before.
Mm-hmm.
But, I had Paul Warren producing it with me, and And he's got an awesome ear, and he's a great talent, a good singer, great guitar player. And just and the cool thing about that song is the reason why we did that song is Paul, when he was 17, he played on the original.
Wow.
You know, so what we ended up doing is playing that song, you know, so Paul could actually, you know, sing it live just for fun, you know? We did it for fun. And then it came out, like, so good, we said, hey, you know what? When we went in the studio, that was the only thing we had that we actually knew that we were going to record or try it. So we said, let's try Pop It. That was the very first track we recorded.
Wow. So the tracks were mostly done prior to COVID. You just did the mixing and production and tweaking on the album during COVID.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's got a very live sound. I know you probably spent a lot of time doing production work, but did you guys record old school in the same studio, or was some of those tracks called in?
Okay. We did. We recorded all the stuff. All the tracks were done in the actual studio. And Randy Pratt, a harmonica player, he has a studio in New York that we actually use. And we did the last two Cactus albums in there. And so it was like nothing new going in there. We knew how to get a sound in there pretty quick, you know. And but we had, you know, a new bass player and a new guitar player. And, you know, but he's very, you know, Paul was very experience of recording, and so is Jimmy. So it didn't take long to get the sounds of everything, you know. It didn't take any time at all, actually. We were recording the album, you know.
Why was the time right to do another Cactus album? It's been about 6 years since Black Dawn, and it seems like you guys go about every 5 to 6 years. You did that in the 70s, and then you took a break, and then now in the 2000s, you're doing the same kind of timetable.
Well, I mean, we didn't really do it as a on purpose. Like we go through. I'm doing my other bands and doing other stuff, and you know. And Randy had the studio, and he just said, "Hey, why don't we do another Cactus album since we got a new band?" I said, "Yeah, that's a good idea." that's really it. That's how it happened. It wasn't like any plan. Well, it's been 6 years. Let's do another album. We have to do it now. You know. None of that happened. We just did it, you know. It wasn't my plan, you know.
Now, how many bands are you working with right now? I know you've been doing the virtual thing with Vinny and with Ron Onesti here in Chicagoland, St. Charles. What all are you doing to keep? What were you doing to keep busy during COVID? Because you're the kind of guy that never slows down.
I never slowed down. I'm re-releasing all my drum books with Modern Drummer Publications. So. First of all, I moved to Florida in COVID, right? So I moved to Florida. I had a house sold in 2019 in L.A. And then I lived with my wife, and she had a house in Connecticut and New York. So I was living mostly in Connecticut, New York, and going back visiting my family, my kids and my brothers and sisters back in California. And then we sold a house in Connecticut, like in, I was maybe a year ago, in March or something.
Mm-hmm.
We had bought the house here in Florida, and we were getting ready to renovate it. So once we sold the house in Connecticut, then we, you know, it was already being renovated when COVID hit. You know, matter of fact, my wife was down there at the end of February in Florida here watching the renovation, you know, and then. You know, when New York got really bad, we left New York, went to Connecticut, then Connecticut got bad, and then we sold the house, and we moved down here, and I set up a studio in the guest house. My brother Vinny actually built the computer and put the studio, you know, all the technology stuff together, because he's a computer geek.
Mm-hmm.
And he set it all up in his house and sent it to me and showed me how to use it. And then, you know, I started doing things. My drum books needed to get some videos for Amazon, which we recorded in my studio. And I did two tracks for Cleopatra, actually three tracks for Cleopatra in the studio. And I was learning to work. And then I got an album deal for an instrumental album called, it's called A Piece in Perdomo. Perdomo is a guitar player, multi-instrumentalist. He plays bass, keyboard, drums, and everything. So I found him through my friend Tom Dowd, even though he passed away, his family contacted me, and I thought, hey, this would be a good way for me to learn my studios to record. So I started recording with him. Now we got 16 tracks done, and I got an album deal on Cleopatra with that as well. So we've been recording, and you know, now we're going to be doing, we did a video when I went to L.A., so that'll be coming out. Plus, I've been working on my guitars. It's 25th anniversary box set. And I put some new guys on that. I put Kiss's guitar player, Tom Thayer. I put Derek Serinian from Sons of Apollo on keyboard playing like a guitar solo. He also played on my instrumental albums. And, you know, so I've been doing a lot of stuff. I produced a woman's demos, and one single, and a video, and it looks like we're going to get a deal with another label that's doing the guitars package. And yeah, I've been busy, you know, I've been busy.
Now, like I said, you got that New York work ethic, and you guys, you and your brother both, you never seem to stop. There's always a project somewhere.
No. I even wrote two Christian songs, because I became more of a Christian after, 2 years ago, I almost died when I was on the road with my brother Vinny from massive nosebleeds that I get. And I was stuck in the Canary Islands, and I had to get back home. It took me a week to get home. And two medical airlifts, and when I got home, my nose was packed, and it was infected. And it was an unbelievable story. And I got home, and then my doctor in New York said that I might be mentally disabled because the packing was infected so bad.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah.
And but I ended up being okay. But after that, you know, I prayed to the Lord that, get me through that, because, man, when you're sitting in the Azores,
right,
ocean, you know, and you wake up in a room and being knocked out in the hospital, and there's nobody in the room, it's all black with a light on in the distance, I thought I died.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I actually thought I died, you know. So, get me out of there. I got out of there, when I came back, I started listening to the Bible and going to churches, and I found an amazing church down here. Florida has a band that's just amazing. You know, and they needed a drum set, so I got them a drum set for my D-drum, you know, my endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, you know, working with the singer of the place, of the church, is amazing. I wrote these two Christian songs. I had him sing on it, and my instrumental guy, Fernando, played the guitar and bass and keyboards, and put together a really cool Christian tracks. So I'm going to try and get a deal with a Christian label, because they're really good Christian songs.
So something like Word Records or something like that, as far as an actual Christian label to do a full album?
Well, I don't know about a full album to start, you know, but Monday I get together with the singer and the guitar player from the church band, and we're working on a third song. And then next week I got one of the female singers coming in to do some background vocals on the newest one. And the first one I had like 20 female voices on it. And it sounds like a gospel-y kind of rock Christian song. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
Sort of like Hot Legs with Christian lyrics and gospel singers. That's what it sounds like.
Okay. A lot of people don't realize that. They know you played with Rod, but they don't realize that you actually wrote Hot Legs. And if you think...
Well,
you
I didn't
think,
write Hot Legs.
I didn't write
Hot Legs.
No?
But I could have. With the Hot Legs, the biggest thing on that song was the groove besides the vocals. It was the drums and the vocal really was that song, you know? But I didn't get writing credit on that. But I did co-write Do You Think I'm Sexy and Young Turks.
Right.
And a few other odds and ends with Rod. And I've been writing all my life. You know, I've had different songs. Like a big catalog of songs with ASCAP. I play keyboard, guitar, and bass, and I've always been a doo-wop singer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Since I was a kid, I used to sing doo-wop in the subways in New York, you know.
One of the albums that I really enjoyed that you did, that kind of came out of nowhere, I wasn't even aware you were working on it, was the Sinister album a couple of years ago with your brother. Are there going to be more of those coming, the two of you working together?
I'm trying to get Vinny to do this. We wrote this one song, and then we need to get both drums on it. And, you know, I've been waiting 6 months for Vinny to do his part, you know, so I can do my part so we can get another deal. I could probably get another deal on with Cleopatra because he seems to be doing all my stuff. You know, there's a group I'm producing and managing, Kodiak, that just did a Prime TV show in L.A. He came to it, and looks like he's going to sign it. He just signed a King Cobra deal with me to do a new King Cobra album. That's just starting, like as we speak, we're just starting some writing of some songs. And that one's going to be everybody in their house because everybody's spread all over the place.
Right.
And with the COVID, you know, it's too much for everybody to travel and get together. You know, so that one's going to be, we all have studios. And we've already started passing songs around. They pass it to me. I put a basic drum track on so they can finish writing the song. And, you know, and then Paul Shortino's going to be the singer and Johnny Rod, the bass player from the original band.
Mm-hmm.
Two new guitar players. So that's in the works. I'd love to, you know, do another one with Vinny, but Vinny's busy on his own, and he's really hard to answer the phone. You know? pisses me off.
I had him on the show about 3 weeks ago. We were talking about some of the Dio stuff that's being reissued. And he's another guy with a million stories. He repeated the story of John Lennon and the lasagna dish with your mom. And I mean,
my mom, yeah. That was a classic story that involved both of us.
Right, you know? Right.
And, yeah, he's got great stories. I told him that he should write a book. You know, I mean, I got my book out that did okay. I mean, I'm actually getting royalties on it, so they say there's so many books released. If you sell more than 500 books, you're doing well.
Right.
You know?
And not too many people are reading books these days either.
Yeah. I mean, I did like 10,000 books when it came, but between then and now. So, you know, I'm okay with the book. But I'm telling you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get a screenplay done for that story I just told you about, Almost Dying. Because that is I was telling a story in detail to some friends of mine, and I said, oh, my God, what an amazing story. That would be a great movie.
Definitely.
I said, wow, you know, maybe you're right. You know, so I got somebody working on that, and I just told the story on my phone, and I had it transcribed so that if we find the right deal for it, we can do a screenplay. I already have it down on paper, you know.
Mm-hmm. With the making of
it, I was going to say, because it has everything in it. It has drama. It's got the drama of the, you know, the medical thing, the nosebleeds, and me taking two medical airlifts, and my brother being stuck, me and him being stuck in the Azores. And just when I was on stage, I walk on stage, I hit the drum, and I start bleeding like crazy. And then he comes backstage, it looks like a murder scene back there. I was bleeding so much. And
wow.
It was just unbelievable, you know, so. And then you got my wife who was in New York, and at the time she owns the rights to the Gong Show to do it live in theaters. So she was doing that, and she was doing a Gong Show that night. She had to leave, and she was a judge and the producer. She had to leave somebody else in charge and go get on a plane and come to Paris, where I was, after she got me a medical airlift from the Azores to Paris. And then that didn't work, and we had to go back to New York. It was unbelievable story.
Wow.
You got to get the State Department involved. And the story would involve music, you know, especially the music of me and Vinny on that tour, you know, promoting that Sinister album.
Let's talk a little about the Cactus album now. This album just came out, and I'm very pleased that it's out on vinyl. I've got the vinyl, I've got the CD, and I own a couple of record stores out here, so people are really gravitating to vinyl again. Was it your idea to release it? Was it Cleopatra's?
No, this is Cleopatra does everything on vinyl.
As
a matter of fact, I did a deal with them, that one of their first deals they ever did, a King Cobra. The Lost Years are just different demos of you know, the different conglomerations of the band. And they just released it on vinyl. It was out 10 years ago. And they just released it 500 on vinyl, different color vinyl, you know, that I signed a bunch of them. But he's really into, Brian, who owns it, they're really into vinyl. Every project comes out is going to be vinyl. Even my instrumental album is going to be vinyl.
So are you a big fan of vinyl yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I just got a record player and a built-in like speaker system, you know, and you know, I haven't played a lot of it yet, you know, but you know, we're still like fixing the house up here. We're almost done, but once we get it done, you know, we start having parties there. You know, we'll play some vinyl. You know, I got tons of records in the closet. So is my wife. You know, some of the classics.
This album is on a translucent red, almost a pinkish purple. It's so cool to even look at it spinning on the turntable.
It's a real nice package they did.
It is.
We had the artwork done, and if you saw the video, we animated that artwork a bit.
And the video is for Tightrope, which is the title track.
Yes.
Why don't we play that? It's a shorter track. We'll play that for the listeners so they can get a little more feel of this new album. We'll talk some more on the other side.
Okay.
My guest is Carmine Appice. He is the drummer, band leader of the albums and the band Cactus and the album we're about to hear. This is the title track. Let's check it out. Track one. Tightrope. Don't want to step on that. Tightrope, that is Cactus, and that is the title track and the first video from it. And my guest is Carmine Appice, who is the band leader and founder of this group. And I got to say, Carmine, the guitar work Paul has done, Paul Warren, monster stuff.
He's awesome. He's awesome. I always say he's like McCarty on 10.
Yeah, you know, and McCarty's on McCarty here, too.
McCarty's on, too, but, you know, McCarty was Paul's idol. Paul's from Detroit, you know, and you know, he grew up on Mitch Ryder and Detroit Wheels, and then when he was 17, played on, you know, Motown, played with Motown on other Motown songs, too, so he was like a real Detroit dude, and McCarty was like, you know, the guy from Detroit. He was like the guitar hero of Detroit. You know, so him and Ted Nugent.
Right.
Ted Nugent loved McCarty, too. When I told, I sent that track Tightrope to Nugent, and he said, man, that is cool. Who's playing guitar? And I said, Paul Warren, he's from Detroit. So Ted says, give me his number. I gave Ted Paul's number, and Ted called Paul just to talk about Detroit and his roots and everything. He thought it was amazing, you know?
Right, yeah. Ted's another one of those guys that just keeps busy with so many multimedia projects. And when you made this album, obviously Tim Bogart, who had been your sidekick in so many of your projects over the years, had passed away. What was it like being in the studio and working on a new Cactus album without Tim? Did you feel his presence in any way?
No, well, Tim was still alive when we were doing this album.
Okay.
Tim just passed away this year. We finished mixing this album probably September.
Okay.
You know, October. And we were just waiting to release it until the COVID went away, you know? And but Tim hasn't been in Cactus for a long time.
Right.
You know, probably since 2012. So when we were doing this, it was just, you know, we had the new bass player, Pete Graney, who played with us with Vanilla Fudge, played with Cactus. But I think James is a much better fit for Cactus because James is more raunchy and he's got a wild image and everything else, you know? Mm-hmm.
This, so, in my opinion, is probably the best Cactus album ever. If I had to pick one solid album, I love this album from start to finish.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I agree. I say in the interviews that this album has been an upgrade from the songwriting, the production, to the vocals, to everything from any other album we've ever done.
And you co-wrote most of these songs with Paul Warren. Jimmy's on some as well. You wrote with Paul. What's it like to, what's the chemistry like when you guys sit down to write?
Well, it's me and Paul and Coon, you know, Jimmy Coon.
Okay.
And basically we go into the studio and we start playing. And I go, hey, that was really cool. What is that? You know, that's a cool riff. Like that tightrope started off with that riff. I had that drum riff that I borrowed from the drummer of Government Mule, which he borrowed it from Evil. It's the Government Mule, a real big Cactus fan, you know? So I borrowed it back, and I was playing it in the studio, and then Paul started playing that riff. And I said, wow, that's cool. And then we just said, well, all right, we played it a few times, and we need a change. So he would do a change, and, you know, we either like it or we didn't. We said, well, why don't you do that, but stay there for four more bars and then do the change. You know, and that's how it went. The last song we did was Evolution. Is that the one? I don't even know all the titles yet. This thing is so new.
Wow. Evolution is the title.
Yeah, Evolution. So that was a song that I wrote, right? I wrote the guitar part and the bass and the whole thing years ago, and I did a demo of it that I had on my phone. And we said, oh, we need one more song. I said, hey, what about this one? So I played it for Paul and Jimmy, and they said, oh, this is cool. And Jimmy Coons wasn't even there. It was me, Paul, and James put it down, and then we sent it to Coons, and he put a vocal in. He came in the studio and put the vocal down.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blown away. It came out great. A lot of people hear the album think that's one of the best songs on the album. I said, that's pretty funny. It was the last song on the album and probably the song we spent the least time on.
We'll get to that before we, when we close out the show. I want to play that for everybody since you told that story. One of the things I've got to wonder, the album is out, COVID is starting to slow down. We're seeing a lot of cities starting to open up, even if it's small theaters and small clubs. How are you going to get out there and support this? Are you guys going to be doing tours? Because you mentioned how busy you are with other projects already.
Well, I mean, right now we're working on a tour. I got my first show booked with me and my brother on September 25th. We're trying to do the weekend before that. We're working on a tour with Cactus Pat Travis and the Yardbirds as a tour package because it's all blues. And plus, Cleopatra wants us to do a, like we're calling that tour like Three Generations of Blues Rock. 60s is the Yardbirds, 70s is Cactus, and the 80s is Pat.
Right.
You know? And then we were going to do an album of blues covers where each band plays three songs and then we do two songs together. All right, and call it Three Generations of Blues Rock by the three of us on Cleopatra also. So we're working on getting that together. So hopefully that'll happen. If the album don't happen, we're still working on the tour. You know, and our manager is working with a Skyline agency to start putting some shows together.
And for the listeners to keep up with Carmine and all the different bands, I would suggest probably CarmineApiece.net. And for Cactus, CactusRocks.net is out there as well for specific Cactus questions.
Yeah, but you're better off just watching the Facebook. The Facebook has more of what's going on.
Okay.
You know, honestly, I keep forgetting about the website to update stuff because, you know, everybody's doing the Facebook thing. I mean,
right.
You know, the only thing that happens on my website is you can buy drum books and stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't sell any of that on Facebook. But, you know, like my show with my brothers on Facebook, and, you know, I do this drum thing, I named that beat on Facebook, which gained me like 40 or 50. 1,000 fans on Facebook from when this thing started. So
now, how long has the Hangin' Bangin' virtual show that you're doing with Ron Onesti, how long has that been going on?
Well, we're on this week. We have Dweezil Zappa and Kofi Baker.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Sons of Rock Stars.
Right.
I think it's Kofi
actually
44.
Kofi actually lives right here. He's living in in my hometown now, out in Indiana, which was pretty wild because we had him.
I know. Because, yeah, Ron tells me that he always was calling, asking him to put him on shows, you know?
Right.
And we actually, he opened up, it was supposed to be Ginger Baker, and me and my brother were going to do a show there. And Ginger got sick, so they put Kofi in instead.
Yeah, he's a monster
that's
drummer.
That's where we met him.
Love that guy.
Yeah, he's a good drummer.
He's
a good player.
He's played in my record store. He came in, did a jazz thing there, a trio jazz thing, and just blew people away. He's like you guys. I mean, you can play all these different styles, and you play them all so well.
Yeah.
Of course, you were heavily influenced by Buddy Rich, Gene Krupa, and you've brought that with a rock sensation feel to it. I had Kathy Rich in here not too long ago with Greg, who's now drumming,
nice.
Greg Potter. And it's interesting. Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
I was saying it's interesting to see.
I jammed with the buddy. I jammed with the buddy band at the Cutting Room in New York. I saw Greg at the beginning when he first started doing the buddy thing, and you know that's a lot of big shoes to fill.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And when I saw him last year, one of the last things I've ever played. Actually, it was November 2019. Now I think of it. I played with them and. And I said to Greg, you're doing really good. You've definitely improved doing the buddy thing. He has.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a rough thing to do.
That is.
Play with Buddy's band. Play like Buddy.
I don't know if I'm mistaken here, but I'm surprised that you haven't done your own big band album at some point. Did you do one that I missed, or is that still something on the to-do list?
I never did it. I wanted to do the big band Gene Krupa thing, but with guitars, you know? Like on my first solo album, I did things called Drums, 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 which was sort of like a drum single, and Paint It Black was another drum song, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and when I did the record with the Derringer, we did a song called Party Tested, and that was like a drum song as well, you know. And I was added, there's another one called What About.
Okay.
And it was like a drum thing where I played the Gene Krupa kind of tom-toms. And, you know, when I played with Rod Stewart, we just Standing in the Shadows of Love, and I did like a Gene Krupa kind of solo on the record. And I always wanted to be the Gene Krupa of rock. That was my goal,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I achieved it to a point, but I never had that hit single that I wanted, you know.
Right.
A drum single. Cozy Powell beat me to it.
Well, you still have time. You still got your chops. You still got a lot of years ahead of you.
Yeah, I know, but the record business is bad now. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's terrible. You know, I mean, right now we make records not to make big money. We just make records to keep busy and to be creative and to keep moving forward musically. You know, I mean, for the amount of time we put into making these records and the return money we make, it's really peanuts. You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's why the two guitar players with King Cobra didn't want to do another guitar, you know, King Cobra record, because they said, you know, it's not worth the money. It takes so much time to do it, and then you know, end up making, you know, 10 cents an hour.
yeah. When you break it all down, now is it going to be a new King Cobra, or are you doing a repackaging?
No, new King Cobra.
New King Cobra. Okay. And Mick Sweet is not with you anymore, right? Mick is gone.
Mick's one of the guys that didn't want to do it. Mick Sweet is now a painter in the movies.
Wow.
And he's in the painting union making big money. You know, so
well, good for him.
Like you said, he did the last one.
Right.
The last two we did. And, you know, it took a lot of work, you know. We went to Europe and he didn't want to go, so we took this guy, Jordan, I forgot his last name, but he plays with Rat now, you know,
mm-hmm.
and because Mick didn't want to go. So we had the original Dave guitar player, Johnny Rod, me, Paul Sorrentino singing, and this guy, Jordan Ziff, I think his name is, and he was an awesome player, and, you know, people loved it. You know, we did a live album there and released it, and, you know, again, you know, nothing does anything anymore. You know?
Right. Well, hopefully, we're seeing more and more record stores going on, and there's been a lot of folks making in-stores meet and greets, and even doing a lot of the stores. Both of my stores have actual little stages. One has a big stage, one has a little stage. Ignition Records out here has the same scenario. So record stores are almost becoming like the new coffee house in a way, where you can go play a little bit, and then you got a whole store full of albums to sell. And we're seeing, I mean, I've already got Cactus in both of my stores, and I've already sold a couple copies in the week or so I've had it. So people are embracing it, that's for sure, especially when we're playing it in store and they hear some of these songs. They're like, who is that? And then you say Cactus, right. And some of the younger kids go, I'm not familiar with them. And then I start talking about Vanilla Fudge, and I start talking about Rod Stewart, and they're like, oh, that guy. And it's interesting. You mentioned Government Mule earlier, and one of the young drummers from out this way that he chimed in here on Facebook with me and said that seeing you in Lansing, Illinois at Music Lab for a clinic was a life-changing event for him. And he said that, you know, he's in the band Steepwater now, Joe Winters. Steepwater's gone out, and they play all the big Italian festivals with Government Mule and Deep Purple and Bad Company. And he said that that was a turning point for him to see you at Music Lab. So you've got to have a lot of satisfaction knowing how important you've been to so many musicians that have followed in your wake. Kind of like, you know, you were with Gene Krupa and Buddy Rich.
Yeah, I mean, that's what my dream was, and I definitely surpassed my dream because, you know, I co-wrote those songs with Rod and played, you know, huge audiences all around the world, you know, for most of my career. And, you know, and then I wrote the drum book that influenced tons of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and even Andrew Dice Clay went through my drum book, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I met Andrew, he came running up to my car in Hollywood. Banged on the window, said, hey, Carmine. I said, wow, Dice, what are you doing? He goes, hey, I got to tell you, man, I played the drums, and that book, your book, what's the name of that book that you wrote? I said, Realistic Rock. Yeah, Realistic Rock. I learned from your book. He said, what a great book. And I said, wow. So we became friends, and I ended up teaching his kids.
Wow. Yeah, you're in another book that's very, very impacting. My friend Jules Follett put out a book called Sticks and Skins, and I've got a signed copy from you from that. I bought it at an auction. And that's got the who's who of drummers, not just the big names, but those that impacted the sessions. And there's so many amazing drummers out there. As a mentor, as a senior drummer in the rock scene now, are there any that you would like to direct listeners to check out? Any specific young drummers that maybe we should be on the watch for to get on the radar?
Well, there's so many of them. There's one out of Chicago, actually, a group called Changeover Razors, you know? And they're both brothers, and they have a band, just duo with a singer. And Andy Vapor is awesome, an awesome player. You know, that's one pair. I released their album on my little label, the first album. They're doing the second album. I just got them a deal with my label Deco that's doing my guitars. And there's another one, that Kodiak band, their brothers also guitar and drums. And the drummer was in, when he was 11 years old, he won a contest to be in one of my videos for my instructional books called Realistic Rock for Kids. Because it was a kid's book, I didn't want to be the guy, a big, you know, gorilla behind the drum set teaching kids.
Right.
So I did a contest, and he won the contest. So he's in the DVD. That's where I met him and his brother. His brother was 6 at the time, and he played guitar. And now I'm managing both of them.
Wow.
And in the group Kodiak, and he is an awesome drummer now. He's a really great drummer. He's got great feet, great hands, you know. But there's so many great drummers out there now, you know, just so many. And all, you know, and now they're learning online, you know, looking at different master classes and stuff online. The only thing some of the drummers lack is soul, you know?
Right.
Because they don't play, like you see these young kids playing some of these amazing songs on a drum cover online. They got 2 million views, and that's what they do,
right.
You know? But they're really good, but they don't play with bands.
I had that same scenario. We were hosting Battle of the Bands out here, which is where you get a lot of your experience. And some of these younger kids said, well, why should we play those? We can run our phones in our basement and have more people see us. And I thought, that's a sad statement, not wanting to get in front of people and put the sweat equity into it.
Well, that's the thing, you know. The whole attitude, everything's different now. You know, like right now, all the drummers that are coming out now, most of them are mathematic drummers.
Mm-hmm.
It's all numbers, all mathematical. You know, versus like playing from your soul, like Motown and James Brown and all the classic drummers that came from that, and the Buddy Riches and Gene Krupa and Max Roach and all these guys that played in front of 50 people in clubs, you know, to 5,000 people, to, you know, my gigs, Rod, 20,000 people, 80,000 people, you know, Cactus gigs in Isle of Wight. 650,000 people I'm doing a solo to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just nothing like it, but it's a whole different ball game today, but luckily, you know, I'm getting all my drum books re-released, and those drum books became classic, and a lot of people have gone through them, you know, the drummer of the Foo Fighters, Dave Weckl, Greg Bissonette, Kenny Arnoff. I mean, some of the greatest drummers today went through my book, and that made me really proud, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I accomplished that, which I didn't really plan on that. It sort of happened by accident, you know?
Will we see a lot of the past stuff that you had done, Blue Murder, as well as the earlier, you know, King Cobra albums, things like that? Will we see them coming out anytime soon? Some of them have disappeared. Some are still out there.
Well, I think the King Cobra albums, the first two, we're battling with Capitol now. With attorneys, because I'm supposed to get the rights to that back. You know, because the new law that came in effect. And
yes,
Warner Brothers just gave a Vanilla Fudge mystery album back to us. You know, and these two King Cobra records should come back to me because I own them.
Right.
You know, and but they're fighting. Capitol Records and Sony, I believe, are fighting that law. So But once it does, I'm going to get a new deal. Probably Cleopatra already said they would love to re-release it, and I can start a whole new money stream, royalty stream with them, and they'll release it on vinyl and push it and all that stuff, you know? So, but Blue Murder, I don't know. That's John Sykes' thing, you know?
Right.
And he's been, like, missing in action for 10 years.
Right. Yeah, that stuff's hard to find. I get people to come in looking for it, and you pay a fortune to a collector for it, but there's nothing else out there.
Yeah.
What about, and I know it's still out there, but have you ever thought of getting back together and doing a one more project with Jeff Beck, like the Beck, Bogart, and the Peace sessions?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of history there. You know, I was on Blow by Blow, and it didn't work out because of billing and the record company. And they wanted it to be a Jeff Beck album. And when I went over there, I was going to be a Beck a Peace album or a Beck album, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, from that, I got a little bad taste in my mouth. But, you know, but I was still friends with Jeff over the years. And then we did People Get Ready. You know, I did that with Jeff and Rod. And then a year and a half ago, I mixed a BBA live at the London Rainbow in front of 3,000 people. And there was seven brand new songs on it that weren't on the first album, and three of the first album songs. So supposedly Jeff's manager is working on a deal. I think he's procrastinating it because next year it's 50 years that we got together.
Right.
So I'm thinking that maybe he's trying to put it together to time it to release it next year, along with the Beck Bogart Peace Live in Japan record, you know, and maybe a couple of outtakes on the record that we never released. There's a couple of tracks that Jeff liked and that we liked that might be on that live record anyway, but could be a studio version.
Right, some bonus stuff. Right.
Because we talked about a box set, you know, and before Tim passed away, we had Tim sign the contract with Jeff and his manager, so the three of us are already signed. It's just a matter of him finishing the deal, and he keeps saying it's going to be a great deal. So that's what's going to happen. As far as doing anything new with Jeff, I doubt it. Because, you know, Jeff, he likes to play with jazz drummers now.
Right. You
know? And I think he looks at me as a rocker. Even though I could play all that stuff, but no problem.
Right. When I heard Papa was Rolling Stone on a new Cactus Tightrope album, I immediately went back to the Superstition take that you guys did.
Right.
You know, I just thought, what a great way to take those old soul classics and rock them up, but put your own fingerprints on them without losing the passion of the songs. So
yeah, but you know, the Superstition was different, though.
Oh, really?
The Superstition was written for Jeff Beck by Stevie Wonder in return for Jeff playing on Stevie's album. So we had a demo of it, and we changed the demo to the way we did it, and we had some different lyrics. But then when Motown heard Stevie's demo, they said, we don't care who you wrote this for, it's coming out. So they released it, and it went to number one. So by the time we released our version, it looked like it was a cover song.
Right, right. Yeah, he put it out on Talking Book in 72, and well, we are running tight on time, Carmine. I do want to slip in a little bit of this Evelation song. So is there anything we haven't touched on that you want to let people know, or should we just go right into some music?
Well, yeah, there's one more little thing. We do have a new song coming out with Vanilla Fudge. Stop in the Name of Love, Scream song, has the power of You Keep Me Hanging On, and Tim's on it, and the whole original band's on it.
Wow, when's that coming?
That we're going to try and release it June 7th on the day we released You Keep Me Hanging On 55 years ago.
Wow. Excellent. We'll look forward to it. Carmine, thank you so much for your time. I look forward to seeing you guys get back on the road. And I'm glad you're doing so much stuff here in Chicago, too, with Ron Onesti up in St. Charles.
We're going to do a live Hanging and Banging there.
Good. I want to be there for that. I want to drive down there and be part of that. So you take care, my friend, and stay safe and healthy, and we'll see you soon.
Keep me plugged in. I want to hear Revolution on the radio.
All right. Here it is.